Welcome in, 8 o'clock. Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. We'll make your list of the good, the bad, the ugly. How impressed were you with what you saw, the divisional playoff games this weekend of the NFL? Everyone coming down to the bitter end in regulation, or in the case of last night, overtime. The LA Rams will host San Francisco. The Chiefs will host Cincinnati. Let's see from Guru Gary, best game all year. Pretty much a Super Bowl feel. Sorry for Bills going home.
Yeah, I'm there with you.
Bills play their butts off. Josh Allen, another great performance. And the Bills, unfortunately, can't get to the AFC Championship game again.
Something we haven't really talked about. Fourth straight AFC Championship in Kansas City. That's something never been done before. A team's never hosted four straight championship games.
Quite a feather in Andy Reid's cap. Patrick Mahomes as well. All right, so text or call us today. We've got some thoughts on that. The good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend. 970-242-1340. All right. Normally, we talk to him on a Tuesday, but the Maverick women's basketball team in action today. Getting ready to take on Black Hills State. Time to talk some Maverick women's basketball.
Talking Colorado Mesa women's hoops with Mavs coach Taylor Wagner on the team.
All right, the Maverick women take on Black Hills State today in Spearfish. With us right now, Maverick women's coach Taylor Wagner. Taylor, appreciate the time.
You bet. How you doing?
Doing fine. Boy, you guys are living out of your suitcases, living out of your bags. Three games in 4 days, and after being over in the Front Range in Golden, and of course Regis on Friday and Saturday, had the trip yesterday to Spearfish, getting ready to take on Black Hills State today. This is definitely testing the road warrior mentality of your basketball team, Taylor.
It is, yeah. We're ready to be home. We got one more game, so I think we're, you know, we got to be ready for this afternoon. But you know, I talked with some of the other coaches. They're going to be in the same situation here later on, and you know, it's going to get pretty tight to put in games that were canceled. And you know, because one team, it's going to be convenient always for the home team for someone to come and play at any point. But for the road team, you know, it's going to be difficult, especially on these outlying schools, you know, to go to Salt Lake or, you know, all the way down to New Mexico or even up here to Black Hills. So it'll be interesting how it all plays out here in the next month.
At least fortunately for you, UCCS, while it's, you know, not a short trip, it's not like going to Western or something, at least it's in state, and it's, you know, it's 5 hour drive to go to the Springs to make that game up. But with Black Hills State, you know, it's a long trek to Spearfish. And how do you keep your team engaged mentally when it's kind of a grind like this with three games in 4 days?
Well, we've just kind of talked about how it's going to be in a regional or an Elite Eight. You know, you're going to have to play three games in 4 days, and that's the mentality you got to have, and the teams will be good. So that's the important thing is, you know, I know it's not ideal and what usually happens in a season, but that's kind of how we sold it. And we want to play, too. You know, you've had games canceled, so these kids want to get out and compete and play. And, you know, last year we saw it where games got canceled and never got made up and teams wouldn't play each other. And I don't want to be that team. I don't want to be that program that says, hey, we're going to dodge you. So it's not convenient for us. You know, we played three games in 4 days. Their last game was Thursday. You know, so they've kind of been preparing the last 3 days. So we just got to be ready and go out and do it on the floor.
And we'll have the game today, tip off at 4 o'clock right here on the team CMU Sports Network. CMU women's basketball coach Taylor Wagner with us this morning. You faced the Ordiggers over in Golden on Friday night, number 13 team in the nation. A game where, look, you outshot them 36.7% to 30.2%, but the rebounding edge that they had in that game, Taylor, is the thing that came back to really haunt your team. They out-rebounded you 44 to 34, and I imagine not having Sophie Anderson probably didn't help in that regard on the glass in that loss to the Ordiggers on Friday.
It did. You know, she brings some toughness to us. They are a great rebounding team, great at forcing turnovers. And being down two starters in that game, you know, I think that really hurt us and getting people acclimated and everything to, you know, how we're going to go. But Mines plays different than everybody, and they're really aggressive. So the turnovers and the rebounding definitely hurt us. We had our chances. Defensively, I thought we were good enough to win the game. But, you know, when you've got to continue to play defense, it wears you down a little bit.
And in that game, Monica Brooks got the chance to start, and Monica, I thought, played pretty well. 13 points, 5 rebounds in that loss to the Ore Diggers.
She did, yeah. She played phenomenal for us, actually. I mean, defensively, she was great. Offensively, she was scoring. The next night, she did the same thing. So it's really good. I think it's given her some confidence. Hopefully, moving forward, too, that she'll be a big integral part in our offense.
Taylor Wagner, coach of the CMU women's basketball team, joining us. And then you wrapped up your trip to the Front Range with that Saturday win against Regis. And, boy, what a game Mariah Martin put together in this one. An amazing output, 31 points, 13 of 19 from the field, three-pointers in that game. She also had 8 rebounds, 8 assists. Kind of Nikola Jokic-like numbers for Mariah Martin.
Yeah, we needed it for sure. You know, we go out in the first minute and a half. Sophie Haydad goes down with a knee injury, and it kind of throws off all of our rotation. And then Mariah steps up big time, and then Danny gets going. And so offensively, you know, those two girls just played really good. We needed that. It was a good emotional lift for us. You know, to see her go down. 2 times in 1 year, really. I think the girls felt bad for her, and I'm glad we kind of rallied around that and were able to get a win.
What can you tell us about Sophie Haydad and her situation?
Well, just a knee injury. They're going to look at it, I think, tomorrow. So doesn't look good. You know, she tore ACL last year, and so doesn't look good, but we're going to wait to see what the doctors say tomorrow. But, yeah, I mean, we're down now 3 people, 2 starters, and then usually Sophie was the first person off the bench. So, you know, some girls have got to step up, and they did in the Regis game, and that's what we expect kind of moving forward. Everybody's got to play a little bit better.
Taylor Wagner, coach of the Colorado Mesa women's basketball team, with us on the Team Sports Network. Colorado School of Mines right now, undefeated in the conference, 10-0, 15-1, followed by Westminster, and then CSU, Pueblo, Metro State, and the Mavericks right now at 7-3. Black Hills State is also 7-3, Taylor, and last time you faced them was at Brownson Arena. You were able to get the win in overtime against them when you outscored them 13-7 in overtime, so a really hard-fought game usually is, as we've talked about before at Black Hills State, and I'm sure you expect more of that kind of play today, a really hard-fought game against Black Hills State coming up.
Yeah, you know, they just get out and pressure you. They continuously attack, one of the better three-point shooting teams in our conference, if not the best one, you know, makes per game and percentage. So a team that really likes to spread the floor and keep it moving. And you know, I think that's where we're going to miss both Sophies tonight a little bit with their experience and their toughness. But just like you said, it's always a battle when we play these teams, when we play Black Hills, and that's what we're expecting when we play them today.
Yeah, Yellow Jackets coming off a sweep. They beat Chadron State, South Dakota Mines on their home floor. That was after the 2 weeks off, so that they're able to get a couple of games and a couple of victories in this weekend. Mentioned Sophie Haydad and her situation. What about Sophie Anderson? When can you maybe expect to have her back on the floor, Taylor?
We should have her back next weekend. So, you know, if everything goes right, hopefully we'll get her back in practice when we get back in town and just move forward and add another player, which we need.
Just getting some bodies, getting some healthy players back on the floor. That's the number one goal right now, along with getting some wins as well. We'll have the game today, the Maverick women at Black Hills State, our pregame at 3:45. Tip off at 4:00 from Spearfish. Taylor, I appreciate the time, and best of luck today for you and the Mavericks against Black Hills State.
Thank you.
All right, there's Taylor Wagner, who I imagine will probably be either talking tomorrow again or perhaps later in the week, as the Mavericks, like I said, the two Sophies, Sophie Haydad, Sophie Anderson, out right now. Haydad looks like not that we're doctors and we don't know the exact extent of her knee injury. Mentioned she had the knee injury that kept her out pretty much all of last season, and now looks like that we don't know the exact circumstances. Does not look good in terms of the initial prognosis of what her situation is going forward. All right, 810, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. This last weekend, the divisional round was truly incredible. Starting out with Saturday with the matchup with Cincinnati taking on Tennessee. Not a good weekend for your number one seeds, with both Tennessee and Green Bay both going down. What was the biggest surprise of the weekend for you in terms of the playoff games?
Probably the Packers. Losing at home to Jimmy G, just the way that they unraveled both special teams and offensively. They just didn't have anything that was a threat outside of that opening drive offensively.
I thought Derrick Henry would not only go out and be, rush for 150 yards and three touchdowns. Mm-hmm. I thought Tennessee would be better offensively than they were against Cincinnati.
Right.
With Okejobi out, I thought that they, with Derrick Henry back, that would give them a lift offensively. I thought they'd be better than what they were. So maybe that's, and the Packers, that at home at Lambeau Field, with an extra week with the bye for Rodgers and the pinky toe to be better and be pretty much 100%. But you look at the numbers, and coming off a bye week, Rodgers has not been great. And he was not great on Saturday.
No, he really wasn't. I mean, if you just look at the numbers, again, it's the Kirk Cousins. Right, it's a little bit of Kirk Cousins. If you just strictly look at the box score, 20 of 29, 255, didn't throw an interception. He got sacked five times. That's not great.
But he didn't throw a touchdown either.
Didn't throw a touchdown, and he had a fumble. They didn't lose it, but that definitely kind of killed some of their momentum. And his most effective receiver over the course of the game was Aaron Jones at 129 yards. So not a lot going on down the field there.
But
Aaron
Jones made
a lot of that.
Yeah, but only 41 on the ground, though, for Aaron Jones.
Right.
And where he clearly made up for in the pass game, Niners kind of took that. They took the run game out of the equation for Green Bay.
And you take away that 75-yard catch, he still only had 8 catches for 50 yards. It wasn't like he had a great, just a dominating effort.
He had a chunk play.
Big
chunk play, yeah.
And so it's like the Kirk Cousins thing. It's those 9 incompletions. How they happened, where they happened, which I think 2 of them were on their last drive, which just is not how you would expect Aaron Rodgers to play.
All right. So let's go around the NFL. You've got the cuts over there, right? I've got the rest of this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we have highlights? I did not get any highlights.
Actually. No, you just have the cuts.
Yes.
You just have the... I'm doing one thing. You're doing the other thing.
Okay.
How about that? Does that make sense what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah.
Because I didn't do something that allowed me to do both.
Okay.
All right, so we'll start out with Saturday, where the Cincinnati Bengals went to Tennessee to take on the top seed, the Titans. 19-16, the victory for the Cincinnati Bengals. McPherson, the rookie, hits the game-winning field goal, but Joe Burrow, 28-37, 348, threw a pick. It wasn't... The yardage was impressive.
Yeah.
The fact that he didn't throw for a touchdown, threw a pick in that game, didn't help, but Mixon comes in with 54 yards and a touchdown on the ground, where they did a nice job. Derrick Henry, yes, it'd been 2 months since he played, and he still got into the end zone. 20 carries, 62 yards. Devontae Foreman had 4 carries for 66 yards. He had 140 yards on the ground, but that defense forcing 3 Ryan Tannehill interceptions, that was a big difference. Zach Taylor said his team was up to the moment.
This is the expectation for this team. You know, this is not too big for these guys. I know we haven't been here before, but it sure feels like we have. You know, you just see the attitude of the team and the confidence that they have that we're going to find a way to win. And just, you can't replace the confidence that these guys have earned in themselves. and hopefully that carries us through for another couple games.
Yeah, you know, that interception on that last drive, it was kind of batted around and picked off by the Bengals, and that was a kind of a bad luck interception, but it wasn't a great throw and not a great decision, as the receiver had two Bengals around him. But Cincinnati's defense was very opportune. I don't know if they would, I would characterize their play game, play in, play out as good, because they did allow a lot of rushing yards and a couple big pops there by Foreman, but they were opportunistic and they played well when it matters, and that's how they ended up picking up the win over the Bengals. In the nightcap, it was the San Francisco 49ers going on the road again. Jimmy G was kind of Jimmy D, D plus maybe.
Yeah.
11 of 19, 133, threw an interception, was sacked four times, but did kind of balance the ball out a bit. Elijah Mitchell, 53 yards. Deebo Samuel, 39 yards. Kyle Juszczyk, 14, all on the ground. And you had three catches by Mitchell, three catches by Samuel, four catches by George Kittle for 64 yards. And they were really the team that was kind of, even though they were trailing, it felt like they were in control. It was weird a little bit. And they get that special teams touchdown, then a field goal at the buzzer. And George Kittle says it's all about staying alive.
We take punches. We get our legs taken out from underneath us. We turn the ball over. Our defense responds. Our special teams responds. Our offense responds when we need to. And, you know, on his offense, we played just well enough to win the game. You know, especially that last drive. You know, we still had to go down there to give Robbie an opportunity, and we did just that. And then you can't talk enough about, you know, our special teams today.
They played well.
They did.
And you look at played really well.
And look at that team. I mean, Nick Bosa is good. They've got good players. Deebo Samuel. Kittle's a guy that could be a Hall of Famer someday.
Yeah.
But it's not like it's a team that's just star-studded, right? With all these household names like the LA Rams possess. They got it done in Green Bay, though. Speaking of the Rams, on Sunday, Matthew Stafford, they got him for games like this. 366 yards, threw for two touchdowns yesterday, hit Cooper Kupp with a big pass late. They kicked the game-winning field goal in regulation as they hold off Brady and the Buccaneers 30-27. Look, Tom Brady, he's been in worse situations, right? They were down 20-3 at halftime. Could have been worse if Cam Akers doesn't fumble at about the two-yard line. But Brady mounts the comeback. He throws for 329, a touchdown and a pick in that game as the Rams get the win 30-27 yesterday. And a guy that Broncos country still loves, still a place in our heart, Von Miller. Vonnie Wood, annoying that old TB12, the GOAT, was not going to go down easy.
I'm still trying to process everything. But, man, that was a crazy game. You know, I knew it was going to come down to the end. All the times that I played, you know, Tom Brady, you know, it always comes down to the end. So I knew no lead that we had was safe. Man, I'm so proud of these guys, man. Everybody played. Everybody's name was called today, and everybody answered the bell from offense, defense, special teams. Nobody was perfect tonight, but, you know, we still found a way to win it, man. And it's always great to, you know, fix things that you did wrong after a win.
Yeah, and they're going to have a chance to do that as they get to maybe play in their own house. What? Three times in the playoffs?
Yes.
Wild card.
Back to back.
NFC Championship, and then maybe in the Super Bowl. And all of that led up to just a crazy, crazy game in the nightcap. Josh Allen, 27-37, 329, four touchdowns. Patty Mahomes, 33-44, 378, three touchdowns, 177 yards after the two-minute warning. It was 26-21. Kansas City with a minute 55 left, and it finishes 42-36 final. Travis Kelce spoke after the game on the wild ending.
I can't even put it into words, man. How much work we put in together and how much fun we have doing that, and then to go out there and put our entire goals, dreams, aspirations out there and just bleed for every single person on this team and every single person in that stadium wearing red, man. That was a fun experience. I remember the catch and then seeing Tyreek standing over me calling game and then seeing Pat running over me was, I'll remember that for the rest of my life.
A lot of us will probably remember the end of that game for the rest of our lives.
So the scene is set for the championship weekend this Sunday on the Team Sports Network. Pregame at 12:30, 1 o'clock kickoff, Kansas City hosting Cincinnati. And that'll be followed by San Francisco at the Los Angeles Rams. All right, text or call the show today. Your thoughts about, was it the best weekend in NFL playoff football ever? I certainly think that. I think you feel the same way.
Yeah.
So I've got some thoughts on that Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line, 970-242-1340. Who do we have on the team line?
With the puff of smoke, the Pope appears.
All right, the Pope. Haiti, how are you doing?
Hey, man, look, I'm tired of this. I am not doing Friday football picks anymore. I went 0-4. This weekend just stink, man. This is just not right. Watching COVID ball, man. COVID football. Oh, yeah. That's right. Complain day is on Wednesday, right?
That's at Wednesdays, yeah. Whine about a Wednesday. Like, wow.
I'm 2 days early,
wow.
Dude.
Wow. I only got one right, so it's not like I had some kick butt weekend myself. Come on, Petey.
I know, man. Yeah. I went 0-4, man. I'm sitting up here and I'm watching the Bengals game and I'm going, come on, Tennessee. You don't go for the extra point. All right. Derrick Henry is not himself. And then the games got wild. That Rams and Buccaneers game, they were up 27-3, dude.
Yeah. 1 point they were.
Well, I'm going, what in the world is this? But that's all right. It's good football.
It was a fun weekend. Whether you and I liked the outcomes for our picks.
I know I am.
Okay, wow. That's, wow. That was a touch.
I said I'm going to call Jim on Monday and tell him I resigned from doing football picks because I just totally sucked 0-4 in the playoffs.
So back in the day when you're coaching guys at Mesa or your kids were dealing with adversity, is this how you approached it? Nah, go ahead and quit. It's okay. It's okay. Things aren't going your way. That's okay.
Quit.
No, man, quitting is not in my blood,
okay,
man.
I know that's not you.
That's not my blood, dude.
You don't like your job. You don't strike. You just go in every day and do it really half-assed.
That's exactly.
Oh, that was good. That was so good.
So I expect to talk with you on Friday then.
Oh, yes. I will be there on Friday, yes. Trying to get the next two games or the next three games down pat.
Okay. Well,
all right, guys. Have a great week, man. This was a fun weekend. It was a really interesting weekend.
It was a great weekend of football. A lot of fun. Hey, Petey, thanks, man. Take care.
All right, take care, bud.
All right.
Now, at the risk of being unpopular, this reporter places the blame for all of this squarely on you.
Sorry, Petey. Oh, 0-4.
Ah, shuck.
COVID ball. Drop the COVID ball thing.
That one got me. I'm like, what?
What? Who do we have on the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line?
This is Paul.
Okay. Paul, good morning. How are you?
Awesome. After probably the greatest football weekend in the last 20 years.
Sensational, wasn't it?
That was so good. Every game was good. Every game was a quality game. Even the Niners and the Packers was a quality game. But last night's game was un-frickin' believable. That was so fun.
Yeah, I mean, just like Buckeye said, every game, starting with the Bengals and Titans, just got better and better and better as the weekend went along, culminating with the crescendo last night of an overtime victory for Kansas City. I'm speechless about how great the weekend was, how amazing the finishes were, and seeing teams, your two number one seeds lose, Green Bay losing to a San Francisco team, look, on paper, had no business beating Green Bay. Mm. Had no business going in there and beating them. But yet they did.
And, you know, you look at it, and everybody's second-guessing Sean McDermott on the squib kick versus kicking out of the end zone. I totally disagree. I think he made the right call. When you got Pringle and Tyreek Hill, who, by the way, just torched you for 65 yards and waved at you as he ran by your defense. And you got him back there. I don't disagree with that. I'll tell you what, I got to wonder what Buffalo was thinking. By the way, that was the best quarter of football I've ever seen. That was phenomenal. But you got the not the number one defense in the AFC East, not the one number one defense in the AFC, the number one defense in the entire freaking league. And they play soft on them. And they let them go, 45 or 55 yards in 13 seconds? Mm. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they get down there, get the game tied up, go to overtime. Yeah, against that you know, like I said, that wasn't just any defense. That was the league's best defense that Mahomes did that to.
It was so good, you guys. I was so entertained all weekend. And, you know, I just don't know that the AFC and the NFC championship is going to come anywhere close to that. And like you guys, you told your friends last week the game you wanted to see was the Bills and the Chiefs. I mean, I know everybody said, God, did it live up? It was so awesome.
Lived up to all the hype, no doubt about it. Hey, Paul, thanks for calling in this morning.
Bye, you guys. Enjoy your day.
You too. Take care. All right.
About the squib kick, I don't know where I come down on it still. We're, 12 hours later. With 13, you kick it out of the end zone, don't run any time off the clock. If you make them return it, runs maybe five, six seconds off the clock. They still have their timeouts, which remember when Andy Reid was bad at game management?
Yeah.
He had all three timeouts with 13 seconds left, it felt like. And that was just a masterful job of coaching. The drawback to the teams the way they played was, that last drive, they all dropped back. Like, they know that the Chiefs only need a field goal, but they all dropped back to protect the end zone twice, and I don't understand. They let Tyreek Hill get that, 19 yards, run up, call a timeout.
Yeah. Then with 8 seconds left, they got it towards, remember they had 13 seconds to work with here.
And then they let Kelce just release on the seam, no inside leverage. Corner was on the outside, and Kelce, he doesn't put a move on him like the Gabriel kid did on the defender on the touchdown leading up to that,
where right.
Put him on his butt. He doesn't put a great move on him. He just kind of swivels inside, and he's wide open for another 20-some yards. Those were the two plays where I'm like, man, if they lose this game in overtime, that's going to be killer. And it was, because it was just two bad defensive calls and two great play calls by the Chiefs.
And look, it was a 48-yard field goal to tie it, to get to OT. And as good as Justin Tucker is, he is no doubt, he is the best kicker in the league.
Yeah.
There's Harrison Butker isn't far off.
No. The butt kicker is
pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And hits a 48-yarder to get the game to overtime.
Redemption. Because he missed one right before the half.
Yeah.
He makes a PAT. We're not in this position because that's 4 points. They were down three.
But was able to hit a clutch field goal when they needed him to do it.
Yep.
And I remember hyping up Butker. That's when he missed the field goal. It's like, uh-oh. Tony Romo was like, we shouldn't have said so many nice things about him.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. That's not good. Yeah, I agree with Paul. I don't know if this weekend, if Sunday's games can live up to what this last weekend was, but I'm certainly interested in seeing if they can.
Yeah, you're going to have to go into it putting a bow on this weekend. And this is a new weekend. This coming weekend is new. You can't be like, all right, what are we going to get this? You can't go, because then you're begging to be disappointed.
I just want to see how it all plays out.
Yeah.
And if it's anything half as good as this last weekend, great.
Mm-hmm.
Not expecting to be, how can you expect it to be as good as this last weekend was?
And if the Chiefs impossible. Are going to be without Tyrann Mathieu, and they have to that rely hurts. On Ward and Daniel Sorensen to cover Jamar Chase and Ozuma and Higgins, this could be another
Joe Mixon.
Just bonkers offensive game. It could be crazy without Tyreek Hill there to, or Tyreek, not Tyreek, Tyrann Mathieu.
Right.
To kind of keep everybody in position.
Because he really is such a big leader.
Yeah.
And that defense, that secondary in particular, that
right. And Tony Romo said it. It's instinctual plays. It's not how they're drawn up. It's what Tyrann Mathieu. I keep getting them confused. What the Honey Badger? We'll go with that.
Tyreek and Tyrann.
Yeah. What the Honey Badger think needs to be done on a particular play, that is what makes him so good. It's not the fact that he runs the play as called and he's just, you know, great at that. It's his instincts that make him so good. And you could see that they really missed that because guys were open for Josh Allen. I mean, there's some tight throws that he had to make that were just ballsy and really good. But there were some throws that guys were just running wild and free.
And keep in mind, this is a rematch, the regular season.
Yeah.
34-31 win for Joe Burrow in Cincinnati in that game.
Well, the Chiefs' revenge tour continues on because Buffalo whacked them.
They lost to the Bills.
Yeah.
All right, 8:30, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy, and it's time to play the number game.
Let's play the number game on the Jim Davis Show.
All right, since Peyton Manning was drafted, oh, by the way, first of all, the prize today for the number game is a delicious case of Coors Banquet beer from High Country Beverage in the awesome gold cans there.
Very good. Classic.
Yes, since Peyton Manning was drafted in 1998, there have been 24 Super Bowls. How many of those have not featured either A. Manning, Brady, Rodgers, or Roethlisberger?
All right, first correct answer wins a case of Coors Original. It's a number. Got to have the number.
Yes.
Hence the name, the number game.
Since Peyton Manning was drafted in 98, there have been 24 Super Bowls played. How many of those have not featured either A. Manning, Brady, Rodgers, or Roethlisberger as starting quarterback?
All right, so text or call in, 970-242-1340. Coming up, we'll have our Prep Stars, Mighty Mavs. Also, the latest on the Broncos coaching search and the ownership situation. And what about Aaron Rodgers? He had some comments after the loss on Saturday. So we'll get into that coming up in just a little bit. Text or call us, 970-242-1340 on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line.
Stay by the radio. You are listening to the Jim Davis Show on the Team, 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction.
Welcome back, 8:35, Jim of the Buckeye Boy. From the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, most trusted name in automobiles. I mean, think about what Mahomes did last night, 13 seconds. And then what Josh Allen did prior to that was 62 seconds to get them down the field, score a touchdown. That's going to be Mahomes and Allen. That's going to be the new Manning Brady, right? It's going to be the new big quarterback showdown. Of course, going back to last year's AFC Championship game, these two guys are going to be at it, going at it for a long, long time.
And that's what they were talking about leading up to the game was this is the next generation right on the doorstep, and they kind of they kicked the door in.
They absolutely did. And what they can do with Josh Allen as far as quarterback run game. I mean, times where they just run a straight quarterback sweep. Old school, just a quarterback sweep, no RPO.
The first fourth down on their opening drive.
Just give him the ball.
He just ran student body right. The quarterback followed a couple pulling guards.
And there's play where they run a quarterback sweep to left side, hurdles a guy, takes on a couple of defenders, gets knocked out of bounds. Now, long term for Josh Allen, there's going to be a point where he's going to have to dial that back.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, next couple of years, there's probably he's going to need to pick his spots a little better with that.
But it's not like he's, you know, Mike Vick.
He's a big, strong guy.
He's a BFD. He's a big F dude.
But as big as he is, though, it's going to take its toll.
The reason the Chiefs defensive back had to go to the blue 10 is because the quarterback hit him.
Quarterback took him out, yeah. I'm just saying long term,
they're going to have to make that more judicious on the hits.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they necessarily need to change how they call it, but right up the middle, maybe not. Let's go off to the sides so where you can kind of get
him
out
taking
of
on a couple of defenders all the time and trying to run him over, truck him. Yeah, that's probably 2-3 years down the road.
But he wrecked that dude.
Yes, he did. He's just so physical.
Mm-hmm.
And his skill set, Mahomes, and look, we're acting like Mahomes didn't even play last night.
Yeah, he won.
and he won, and how good Mahomes was, and how good Mahomes was in terms of being a factor in the run game with over 60 yards on the ground and a touchdown.
He had one where he just uncorked. He was running right up the middle for like 30-some-odd yards last night.
And then when you watch Mahomes, just some of the throws are just insane. Sidearm. And there was one to Tyreek Hill. He could get a first down. It's like, how in the hell did he complete it? How did he complete that pass?
Yeah. Josh Allen had a couple of those, too.
Yeah, Josh Allen has that. He's a guy that changed the arm angle. Matthew Stafford will certainly do that. But I think
they have some zip.
I think it was the comment from, might have been Romo about, or might have been, it was Nance about Quisenberry.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the Royals' great reliever,
Dan Quisenberry. Parking lot.
Yeah, just cross parking lot. Mahomes has a stake in the Royals.
The Royals, yeah.
You know, kind of going quiz with the sidearm delivery, throw it to Hill for a first down.
And there's one thing for sidearm and underhand and no look, but the heat.
Yeah, the accuracy.
Man alive.
Yeah.
You could hang laundry on a couple of those Josh Allen touchdown passes.
Yeah, Dustin's got a text. He wants Mahomes and the Chiefs to lose. He's tired of hearing about Mahomes' wife. And his brother's an idiot. I agree. I don't pin that on him, though. His brother, he is not his brother's keeper. His brother's an idiot.
Mm-hmm. And I saw Dustin's text. And there's a part of it that's kind of on you, too. Because, you know, I follow the NFL as close as anybody. I don't follow the Chiefs as close as a lot of Chiefs fans. I don't see anything about his brother. I don't see anything about his wife because that doesn't come up on my feed. I don't follow
I don't care what they have to say.
Who will post about that?
Yeah.
I don't see that on an Instagram. I follow Patrick Mahomes, and I don't see anything about his brother or his wife.
Brother.
I see a lot more about his sponsorships and his kid, which I'm fine with because the kid's adorable.
Yeah, I'm okay with that too.
You know, so I follow it as close as anybody, and I don't see a lot of
it. Yeah, I don't put that on him.
I don't click on Jackson Mahomes was a jerk. What did he do now? I don't click on that headline because I don't care. And then that doesn't start to fill up my feed because my phone's listening to me, which is another argument for a different day. So, I mean, if you're seeing all of that stuff, at some point you have searched it out, and that's kind of on you.
And I'm not going to search that stuff because I don't care. We talked about his brother with the incident at the restaurant, the bar, and not having enough seating for him and his entourage and acting like a total damn fool about it. Yeah, I don't blame that on Patrick Mahomes. No. He's not responsible for his idiot brother.
Right.
It's not his job. His wife, whatever she tweets, that's on her. That's not on him.
I mean, if we're getting on her for tweeting defense of her husband, then we have to do it for everybody.
For every single,
you know,
NBA player, Steph Curry's wife.
Yeah.
Giselle has made comments in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So are you going to go after them too? Matt Stafford's wife.
Drew Brees' wife.
Yeah.
All of them.
Kurt Warner's wife.
Yeah.
All right. So the latest on the Broncos coaching search, that according to Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, they've narrowed their head coaching search down to two finalists, according to a source. Team interviewed 10 candidates, and many are being informed about where the Broncos are in terms of how they've pared the field down. Many around the league believe Dan Quinn will be one of the finalists. Apparently, a dark horse has emerged in this. And it's not Nathaniel Hackett like a lot of us have thought. Apparently, it's Eagles defensive coordinator Jonathan Gannon, who reportedly wowed and blew people away during the interview process. And that's why he is up for several different jobs right now. He has a second interview lined up with the Houston Texans, could also have another interview with the Broncos as well. Benjamin Albright, 850 KOA, Broncos Country Tonight. He says that keep your eye also on Nathaniel Hackett, that Hackett is not out of that conversation, that he is very much in that conversation with Gannon and Dan Quinn. And then you have Mike Kliss, Broncos' unofficial mouthpiece, mentioned that Cowboys OC Kellen Moore, Pats inside linebacker coach Gerard Mayo have also emerged during the interview process as well. I just can't believe that either one of those guys are at the top of that list, though. I just don't. I don't feel that. I don't get that sense. And so here, and according to Nick Cosmender on The Athletic, that they're evaluating who they've already interviewed, and they're not ruling out the possibility of interviewing others, possibly either for a second interview or others that they have not already talked to. Could that be Doug Peterson? Could that be Brian Flores?
If they don't get an interview or a very solid turndown from Doug Peterson of the, yeah, I'm not looking for a job turndown, I feel they haven't done their due diligence.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that too. That I just feel like that, why wouldn't you, both Flores and Peterson, mm-hmm. why wouldn't you talk to those two guys? Why wouldn't you line up, even if it's Zoom?
Right.
Interviewing those two guys.
Or at least come out and say, yeah, we asked and they didn't want to come in.
Yeah, and that's fine. They declined to interview. Like there was the talk about Jim Caldwell declining some interviews.
That's fine.
Which Caldwell said he's not doing that.
If you don't even call them, you know, that's not doing your due diligence. The one thing positively I will say about the Broncos coaching search is, with the exception of the Petersons and the Caldwells and the Floreses, who we want them to call, they're not getting the retreads, right? There's no Gus Bradleys or Doug Marones or any of these guys that are like, why? Why do they keep getting jobs?
Right. Why would you even have them in consideration
for
this job?
At least all young, fresh names, which,
right.
I mean, Dan Quinn's not young, but he's not like old either, right?
A guy that's had two or three different opportunities as a head coach and has flamed out.
Right. His bowl of porridge is perfect. Right.
Right.
He's not too old. He's not too young. You know, he's
right.
done it. He can lead. He's been to the mountaintop. He's not gotten, you know, able to plant the flag up there, but he's been at least fighting off people for a little bit there. So, you know, that's what I will say is they're not going after the retreads.
Which is refreshing to see.
Yeah.
And, like, their search has
been Judge or whoever.
Yeah, and their search has been bigger than what was the last time they looked to find Vance Joseph's replacement.
Right.
The field has been bigger. And it's been a more diverse, interesting field of candidates with varying experiences. Before we play the Rodgers clip, who do we have on the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line?
This is Butchie. Sorry, I completely forgot.
Okay, we grab Butchie first, and then
I forgot who it was.
Butchie, good morning. Congratulations to your Kansas City Chiefs. What, four AFC title games now, right?
Hey, how about that?
Butchie, are you
four there? Four in a row,
yes, four in a row. There you are.
Hey, yeah, what a great weekend of football. Greatest playoff weekend ever, in my opinion.
You're right about that.
Every single game.
Well, we've been agreeing a lot lately, Butchie. I don't know. I'm a little concerned.
I don't like this.
I'm a little concerned about this, that we've been agreeing as much as we have lately, because that's not normally how this thing works with us and you on the program. But yeah, I got to agree with you. An incredible weekend. Every game got better and better until, like I said, the big crescendo last night with the Chiefs beating the Bills in OT.
I'll tell you, I was severely depressed with 13 seconds to go. That game had so many. We had a house full here, and just the highs and lows were unbelievable. But you know, you can't give Patrick Mahomes time at the end of the game. And I will say, everyone's complaining about the kick in the end zone. A squib kick is not going to guarantee you anything different, other than maybe a shorter field.
Yeah, and to me, look, you have the league's best defense. You've got to make them go 75 yards, right? And you didn't get the job done, and they did.
You bet on your guys. That's what I'm okay with.
Or at least get
you
down to
his guys.
Or at least get down. I should say enough, but you have to get down to where you can kick a field goal from Butker. And yeah, I mean I agree with you. Squib kick maybe gives them better field position.
If they're at the 35 or 40, they're close enough to score at that point.
Exactly.
Defense,
so, yeah,
offense.
I thought that was kind of an irrelevant either way, that you had to stop the Chiefs with 13 seconds and give them kudos for the job they did managing that amount of time to get there where Bucker could kick the field goal and then to win it in overtime. So, yeah, I didn't think that was that horrible of a decision by Sean McDermott to do what they did. Anything else, Butchie?
Yeah, just a couple things. Number one, big, tough matchup with Cincinnati coming up. We really have to hope that Tyron is coming back. And just as big as that, which you guys haven't mentioned, Fenton, their starting cornerback, who's been out for 2 or 3 weeks. At one point in the game, they had Mike Hughes and DeAndre Baker in there. 3 touchdowns where the DB just fell down. I mean, they have to get reinforcements in there, and Tyron's got to be back, or they're really in trouble. And last thing, great weekends for Fruit of Girls basketball and Palisade Boys basketball. Just kicking butt out there.
All right, very good. Thanks, Butchie. Appreciate it.
Have a good one.
You too. All right.
You know, and the more I think about the squib kick or not to squib kick,
right?
That's the number one defense in the league in a lot of categories. And Sean McDermott put his trust in his guys. And yeah, they lost, but that's going to carry him a long way.
But he believed that deep. Yeah. You guys are going to go out. You're going to stop. We're going to kick to the end zone off the 25. You're going to stop them.
Yep.
You're going to keep them from getting down there to kick a field goal. We're going to win this in regulation. Didn't work out. But had the belief in his guys. Mm-hmm. All right, after the game on Saturday, here's Aaron Rodgers talking about his future.
Yeah, I mean, of course it does. But, you know, there's obviously a lot of decisions to be made. There's a lot of players that whose futures are up in the air. So, you know, definitely it will be interesting to see which way some of those decisions go. And you know, but I'll have the conversation with Brian, and you know, in the next week or so, and get a little bit more clarity and think about my own future and how much longer I want to keep doing this.
So, I think the news breaking thing is he's going to talk to his GM in a week.
Certainly sounds like retirement might be one of the things he considers. All right, let's get to our prep stars and mighty Mavs for today. Get a little music under this.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Okay, for prep stars, I have Bryn Wagner. We just talked to her dad, Taylor Wagner, a little while ago. 13 points, and she hit 2 foul shots late in the game for Central to win an overtime against Durango.
Was Bill Raftery onions?
Onions. That's onions. And then Cedar Edge wrestling team. The Cedar Edge Bruins had 3 champions. They find the tournament they were competing in. They competed at the Fight at the Fork tournament.
Brother.
Palisade finished 7th there. Cedar Edge won the title. Championships for Landon Martin, Ethan Toothaker, and Ty Walsick. And then for my mighty Mavs, got to go with Mariah Martine. 31 points for Mariah in that win against Regis. And then also on the mats, the CMU women's wrestling team, Kaylee Lacey Haynes, who had wrestled at Grand Junction High School, in her final home match, ends up getting the pin in her final match on the home match for the Mavs.
That's a way to wrap it up.
What about you?
I have Donovan Mestis, Palisade, 31 points in a rout over Summit on Friday night. Eric Akuda in Delta, 21 points in their win over Roaring Fork. Luke Cotto, 22 points for Montrose. Sadly, it was against Grand Junction, but still 22 points. Luke Cotto, he's pretty decent at the whole basketball thing. My Mighty Mavs, Jared Small, double-double in the win over Regis, but Reese Johnson, 25 points. One of 6 Mavs in double figures in the win over Regis.
Palisade boys on a nice little winning streak. They're 4-0 in league play. Fruita girls have won 7 straight. Olivia Campbell, the freshman, played really well, 21 points.
Just Central, talked to her dad, too.
Yeah, just talked to her dad. Central, they've won 9 in a row for the Central girls. So there you go. Mighty Mavs and Prep Stars of the weekend. We'll take a break and come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.